You know, obviously a lot has transpired in our world and in our country in the last 10 days. Last Sunday, we lived in a different world than this Sunday. Not that things have really changed that much, but this effort of what's being called social distancing has emerged, and it was a term we probably wouldn't even have really quite grasped 10 days ago, but it's a very real thing. This past week, when the NCAA and the professional sporting events all canceled throughout America, you know something changed. This is America, okay? When America sets its sports aside, even for a day, something's changing. Now, there is a lot of debate over whether or not this social distancing effort that's going on is overdone or not. And we really just don't know for sure. I'll tell you who knows, though. God knows. And we need to hear from him today. Amen? And I trust we will. But the fact remains that we don't know the best course of action, what it is right now. We just don't. We don't know how much reaction is overreaction. It seems to be a little bit of uncharted waters. Or maybe not. Maybe we've been through something just as bad and it just didn't turn out to be what people are anticipating this to be. It seems, though, from Europe and Italy, it may not be an overreaction. It could be that we are proactively doing what other countries didn't do early enough. Here, though, is something I'm encouraged about. And if you think about it, you can say, what are some good things that may be coming out of this? What can we be encouraged about? It seems apparent that though this massive social distancing efforts, or that through them, we're being encouraged across our country. It's being encouraged across our country as an effort to err on the side of caution, to err on the side of public health, even if it's at the expense of the American entertainment culture, even if it's at the expense of American lifestyle. I think I'm kind of glad about that, that whether it's an overreaction or not, that human lives are being placed above things like sports and entertainment. Is that not a good thing? I'm encouraged by that. Even if it's overdone, I'm encouraged about it. Human lives are indeed more valuable than dollar bills, collegiate or professional sports. But unfortunately, it's not just those kinds of things that are affected. It's not just sports and entertainment that are absorbing an impact. It's young families staying afloat by two jobs and now adding on daycare costs and loss of wages. That's real. Perhaps teachers' salaries will still be paid, but will the hourly teacher aides? Likely not. My point is that even if the virus never comes inside of Reedsburg or Sauk County even, the problem is still here. The economic effect begins in this next paycheck for some. So it is here. Now, what about the church? Somehow it feels like it may not be responsible for us to continue to function as normal for a time. But whether or not we discontinue our normal in-person worship service for a few weeks, we cannot fail to be the Church of Jesus Christ in our community. There's never a time out for that. When times are tough, on a community, that is the time when the church needs to stand taller and stronger. Somehow, I'm reminded of how you have stood tall in times of difficulty in the past. I go back to 2005 when this church rose up in response to the tsunami disaster in Southeast Asia and spearheaded an effort that resulted in the rebuilding of an entire village in Bangsak, Thailand. We've sent disaster relief response to New Orleans, to New York, to many other places. We've provided central command to disaster relief efforts in the Reedsburg floods. This church is a church which has a history of standing up and moving towards hard things. That's who you are, and that's who the church is supposed to be. Difficult times, dangerous times, are not the time for Christians to step back in fear. It's not the time for the church to press the pause button in being God's strategy of hope and truth and peace in the world. The Church of Jesus Christ must prevail at being God's presence in the midst of troubled waters. So this is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you, for myself, for us together collectively to be the hands and feet and mouth of Jesus Christ in our community. At times like this, we need each other. We have members of this congregation who for hopefully only a short time will lose their wages. And we need to be there for one another in this time. At times like this, we need worship. We need prayer. We need the Word of God. And we can be and do all these things whether or not we assemble in a physical place. This moment, this hour, does not define the Church of Jesus Christ. The body of Christ is who we are and does what we do 24/7, 7 days a week. Whether we're congregated or decentralized doesn't change who we are, whose we are, and what we're called to do and be. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." We've been focusing on that verse for the last several weeks and a few more yet to come. It seems fitting today. I think what he's saying, if you rephrase it in today's vernacular, the church will not be kept from reaching into hell's ranks with the love of God, the truth of the gospel, and the hope of salvation. Not by demons, not by politics, and not by a virus. This pandemic does not change why this church is in this community. And you mustn't let it change who you are and how you live, even if you're having to change where you go for a time or how you gather with people or whether you elbow bump or heel click or whatever you're going to do to say hello to people, okay? That's the minor stuff. Now this is, and will take human lives, and that's nothing to consider a small thing. It doesn't matter how many. It may not take hardly any compared to what the flu does every year. Okay? It may not. It may. We don't know, and that's not our concern. Our concern is to be who we are and who Christ has called us to be in this day, in this hour, in our community. And if it hits, it hits. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But we need to stay our course. When one of our own or someone we know loses someone, we rally around them. We love them. We pray for them. We encourage them. That's what we'll do. We support. We are God's presence in the world. So we just continue to be that very thing. We must be God's people, Spirit-filled, gospel-directed, kingdom-minded, not just when it's easy, but especially when it's hard. So we're going to hear from God's word this morning, and I want us to be encouraged from his lips. I've asked a couple of our elders to come forward and to read from God's word and to share a reflection or two and lead us in prayer. So Dan and Jeff, if you would make your way to the front. Come up on stage if you wouldn't mind.
Well, good morning. Mike asked me to share Psalm 46 with us today. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams makes glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fail. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Come back to God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Jay refers to this all the time. I just wished I had bulletproof faith. And many of us, stand strong at times and shake at other times. And if you're in a presence right now where your faith is as strong as that says, our refuge is, our God is our refuge and strength. And if you're standing tall in that faith with God right now, I'm glad for us. But with that comes responsibility. I mean, we need to be respectful and with our reactions, with our words, and how we respond to one another, and how we encourage reassure others who may be shaking right now, and maybe we're not afraid of getting sick, but maybe we're checking our investments every 5 minutes. We're all shaken in different ways at different times in our life, whether it's now or in the future, in the past, for a minute, just kind of take a look around you as to the people sitting next to you, the people that aren't sitting next to you that are missing today. We've got many people that are at higher risk and stuff, and it may not be with us today. And we're called to be the salt and light to the earth, to the world, and in today's culture, this week, maybe we need to be the toilet paper and sanitizer to the world right now. But just keep that in mind, that we got many people that are going to be affected. A couple members of this church that I'm aware of that have students that have traveled abroad, and they need to do self-quarantine, and just be mindful of how we can help out others within our body, within our community, our workplaces, as to, you know, helping provide some things, being the hands and feet to them where maybe they're a little bit more shut in. But at the same token, think about some of our longtime members. You know, we got a lot of longtime members here that have been self-quarantined long before this, that health issues, cancer, heart attacks, major surgery, different things like that have gone on in the lives of many of members in this body that have been part of us. And just take time to remember those. You know, as pastors and leaders, there's only so much we can do and so many people we can reach out to at a given time in a given week. And it takes all of us reaching out to one another and being the friends and family and the prayers and support that we can be for one another. So I just remember that as we go forward. Thank you.
I've been asked to share from Isaiah 43. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave you Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I love you. Fear not, for I am with you. You know, for me, this first song that we sang today, Raise a Hallelujah, had been very near and dear to me. Sang it a lot when I was in the hospital after having my heart attack. And I go back and I think through all of us. I mean, I've been here for a long time now, and I've watched as all of us has been through different losses, whether it be of our houses, of our loved ones. We've all survived the financial crisis of 2008. We're still here. We're seeing a little bit of it again. But it'll be okay. You know, I just think of how much that we need to realize what Isaiah wrote, even in Isaiah 41:10. 41:10 and 41:13 both are on my little lifeline that I've held dear from God's promises of Scripture for a long time now. And in Isaiah 41:10 it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will help you with my righteous right hand." And he's done that in my own experience. You know, and if God hadn't had me on that table when I had my heart attack, I wouldn't be here today, because I had immediate restart of the heart when it stopped, when it went into V-fib. So, you know, God's had his hand, and then he's promised to hold our hand and walk beside us. Sometimes we all have moments when we are anxious over things, when we worry, when we have fear. But God is always right where he says he will be, right here by our side, holding our right hand, walking us through everything that comes through in our lives. Sickness, financial problems, loss of all its many forms. He's right here always. Always holding your hand. And when the times are tougher, he holds on tighter. He never lets go.
Amen.
In 2 weeks, I go in for what the surgeon said, 5 bypasses. So I stand here on bonus time, God's time. And I can't be thankful enough and can't witness to you enough the faithfulness of God. Not because we're anything special, because God is not a liar. He is faithful to his word for his name's sake, always, relentlessly faithful. And I just want to pray over us right now, because we all struggle at times. We all doubt. We all have fear. Like I said, we all get anxious at times. And I think of 2 Chronicles 7:14. And he just says, hey, if my people who are called by my name, right, will humble themselves and pray, confess, turn from our sins, asking for forgiveness, he will hear our prayers and he will heal the land. So let's just pray real fast here and pray this all together with me. As, you know, Heavenly Father, I confess to you, Lord, that at times I do get a little anxious, not knowing what's to come. Lord, I confess to you that there's times when I am a little afraid. And Lord, I confess that there are times when I do worry a little. And Lord God, as the man cried out to Jesus when he realized that it was his unbelief that was kind of standing in the way, he said, Lord, forgive me. Help me with my unbelief. Lord, I pray right now, help me. Help me, Lord, with my unbelief. Help us. And each time, Lord, that you see us through these things, Lord, we thank you. The psalmist said, for though we walk through the shadow of the valley of death, we shall fear no evil. Lord, there's a reason for that, because you are there. Lord, we thank you for always being by our side, always holding our hands through whatever gets thrown at us in this life, Lord God. And with each time, you build us in our faith. You strengthen us in our faith. Each time we go through these things, we sing a little louder. And we go through something else, and we sing a little louder. And we go through something else, and we sing a little louder, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you for your mighty power, for you are our Lord, and you are our Savior. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, guys. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1. I'm going to read a few verses beginning in verse 12. Philippians 1, verse 12. The letter of Philippians is written by the Apostle Paul from jail. Anybody ever spend any time in jail? No? Okay. Well, that's good. Well, he wrote from jail. I don't know if how many of us could write this, but here's what he said. He said, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Just let that sink in for a minute. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. A little bit later, verse 20, he says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm to go on living in the body, it will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Only someone with eternal hope can make such a statement. He's saying, if I live, I win. If I die, I win. Can you say that? If I live, I win. If I die, I win. Now, not everybody in the world can say that. Not everybody in the world has that kind of hope and confidence in their heart. So no wonder the world is in trepidation right now. If this is all you know and this is all you have and your material resources are where your security is, you're shaking in your boots. But if you're redeemed, if your faith is in Christ and your life is in Christ and Christ is in you, it doesn't mean things aren't hard. It doesn't mean that troubled times don't come. It just means that, as Jeff really emphasized, someone's got you. He has us. And that's why we can have joy and peace and confidence in ministering the good news of Jesus to others. That's why we can take any focus potentially off of ourselves and reach out and minister. That's why he could say, what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Because when it's darker, the light shines brighter. If you're the light of the world, the darker the times, the brighter you shine. If your hope is in Christ, the more attractive and appealing is the aroma of Christ in times of darkness. So in times of darkness is actually good for the gospel. It's good for the message of hope because it shines all the brighter. Verse 27, he says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. In other words, live like you have the hope you have. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. I'm trusting God right now. I don't know about 2 hours ago, but I'm trusting God right now that instead of what's happening messing up what God is doing in our congregation, it will actually turn out for the greater progress of what God is doing. Only I don't know how that's quite possible, but he does. But it takes some faith to believe that. Anybody felt any fear in the last week? I have. Not so much about the virus, but other ramifications. This passage reminds me that Christians are to remain focused on our mission and service to Christ no matter what. Say that with me. No matter what. We do not hunker down in fear even when we must live more carefully or more considerate of our neighbors or coworkers. We need to be attuned to what the love of Christ compels from us in this hour. Christ gave up his life to save yours. And we live not for our lives' sake, but for his, who died on the cross for us. What does it look like for a child of God to live worthy of the gospel today? We need to think about that. It means we help where we can help. We serve where and how we can serve for the glory of Christ. Our actions must not be driven by fear. They must be driven by love and by selflessness. So we need to be, as a church, at a place of strength, personally, individually, and also collectively, to respond. 2018, in the last flood that hit Reedsburg, we did everything we could financially to help the hurting. Within our own congregation and even outside of our congregation, we bought washers and dryers and water heaters and furnaces to help people. What does it take to do that? Come on, what does it take? Okay. Yeah, but not first. Love and faith, yeah. Starts with that. But with that love, with that faith in God, then to make that happen, it takes money. Money does a lot of good. And we need to remember that at times like this, the church needs to be at a place of strength in every way, in pastoral strength, in elder strength, in biblical strength, in financial strength. We need to be strong to help those who are weakened. So what we're going to get to the more practical side now, and to help me with that, I've asked Dr. Chris Winninger to come and share with you a little bit that he shared with our elder team last night, and to just give you a little perspective from our local medical community perspective. Thanks, Chris.
Good morning. It's a blessing to be here in God's house to first and foremost worship Him. He deserves our praise. He is sovereign. God is sovereign in even times such as this. You know, with all that's been going on in the news and obviously around the world, I hope today I can be a calming influence somewhat. You know, how as Christians can we go around day to day and be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, reminding others the hope we have in God when there is this going on? You know, there's a lot of speculative panic out there, and it's easy to fall into that same mode because we're all human. We need to lean on Him first, read His word, and pray. There's a difference between concern and worry, right? We know this is serious, enough so that look at what's happening. We've seen that around the world. We've seen what's happened in countries where it's actually seemingly already diminishing as far as how many people are getting this illness. And we're seeing what's happening in Europe where it continues to evolve. We're trying to prepare. Some might see it as overreacting. Many are feeling that perhaps overreacting will later hopefully be better than having underreacted. Each day we're learning how to better approach the situation. And what we're hoping to not have happen is that we strap our healthcare system to the level where we can't help the very sick. The reality is, some or many of us, if not in the next few weeks, months, or even years, will get this. It's a virus. It's out there. It's very much like influenza or the common cold. But there's some unknown, and because of that, we feel the need as a nation to react, given what we're seeing around the globe. Many of us, regardless of age, will get better, regardless, even though many of us will at some point likely have it, and maybe unknowingly. The old or the elderly, especially ones with immunocompromised states, meaning where they're health conditions maybe suppress their body's ability to naturally fight it as easily as some of the others of us, certainly are at greatest risk, and that's why these kind of actions that have taken place this week are happening. It's to look out for one another. It's to love one another, to protect one another. So, practically, how can we go about helping one another? If we have mild symptoms, those include a fever, mild body aches, mild shortness of breath, instead of rushing in, again, making it maybe difficult if many do this at the hospital or clinic, first call. Report your symptoms. They may ask you additional questions about travel, contact with those who've known to have the virus. But if it's mild, there's a good chance, almost guaranteed, that you'll get better, regardless of age. If you have profound shortness of breath, or other concerns, you may be told to come in. But by going in at the moment you have any symptoms, which, by the way, could just as likely be influenza or a cold, of which we are still seeing a lot of. My son, a couple days ago, diagnosed with influenza A. It's out there yet. Vaccines that we have for influenza don't guarantee protection, right? All five of us got the influenza vaccine. My wife had flu a couple weeks ago. Now Noah this week got influenza A. Somehow I've avoided it, fortunately. But the point is We don't have a great method with which to definitely stop this. So it's going to continue to be out there, and it may become like other viruses, something that we continue to see on and off indefinitely. But we can be smart about it. So this concept of social distancing that has obviously rapidly evolved this week is all in attempts to try to slow the uptick in number of cases that occur, with the hope that we don't overwhelm the healthcare system with the very sick. Because we see what's happening in Europe and especially in Italy, and therefore better to assume potentially significant burden on our system too, and want to be able to take care of those who need it. So hopefully if we can slow up the process of this evolving, we'll be able to take care of the very sick. We should try to respect that request, right? I mean, some of us may be feeling like, man, this is crazy. This is overreacting. Again, look, there's influenza. That kills a lot of people every season, and other illnesses. But at this time, with the uncertainties and still learning more and more about it, I think we're best to respect what's been requested of us from our nation as a way of, again, loving as Christians one another. So, what things can we do practically otherwise? Well, stay informed, certainly, but to a certain extent, turn off the TV. Read the Bible. Read for pleasure. Play some board games. Go for a hike. Play outside. Love on your kids. Love on your neighbors. If you're feeling well, and you know somebody's at risk to go out and shouldn't go out, or they're sick, get them their groceries, except, of course, toilet paper. You aren't going to find it. And mind you, it is not a diarrheal illness. Get Kleenex. I mean, that's what you really need. Wash your hands. You know, 20 seconds is how long you're supposed to wash your hands. That seems like a long time to wash the fronts and the backs. So sing the doxology while doing it at a moderate tempo, and you'll have done it for 20 seconds. Elbow bumps for now, right? Or cough into your elbow. Then maybe you shouldn't elbow bump, but cough into your elbow. Don't touch your eyes, your nose, your mouth. It's transmissible primarily through respiratory droplet. And these droplets drop quickly, okay? So you cough, they don't hang out there 20 feet away and consume the room and stay there for days and cause problems. So again, let's use some common sense. We know from a lot of other viruses how they act and work. But again, just try to love on one another if it's safe and wise to do so, and help those who can't get out or shouldn't get out because they're trying to be careful for themselves. You know, Christ allowed this virus to occur. You've heard it, several people this morning, our elders and pastors say it. He's in control of it. God is in control of it. This is no surprise to him. I had that line bolded on my little reminder notes here, and it's been said by several others. It's God is not surprised by what's happening. He's sovereign. He wants us to be a good steward of our health and the health of others, and that means trying to take care of each other as best we can. As Christians with Christ in our court, we win no matter what. It's in times of these, like these, that we shouldn't worry, but rather pray. So I am more than happy to, you know, take questions, you know, through the week. We're even thinking about maybe doing something online where I could be available to help out, or email or whatever. But the reality is we're trying to keep on top of it as best we can, and there are a lot of uncertainties. And as you can tell, day to day, things are really evolving as far as the understanding of this. So, but the key is just mostly common sense. So thank you.
As a result of Chris's encouragement and also Dr. Fast's encouragement, our elders have made a few changes and decisions. And the way I want to talk about this is I want to say, what is Trinity's plan right now? One, okay? You have that up on the screen? One, each of you, each of us, be the church decentralized, as I've just shared with you. In other words, As individuals, the church continues wherever you go. Be the body of Christ as an individual. So if you can help someone with childcare, do it. If you can run errands, as Chris talked about, do it. Anything you can do to help. If you want to help someone financially who you know has lost their wage, do it. Secondly, because they're really trying to, the social distancing has more to do with larger groups like this one. We're going to encourage you to continue with your small group gatherings for encouragement, prayer, and support as you're able. And I want to ask Dan Farber to come up real briefly and just remind us of the small group options we have. We want to continue with our plan to have this four-week emphasis that Julie talked about last week. So Dan's going to just share briefly briefly, we got 5 minutes or so, just a little bit about the opportunities that we have for everyone.
Good morning. I know that there's been a lot of fear and a lot of worry out there over this world health crisis. But I shared with the men's group yesterday morning one of the things that I focus on when I feel a little anxiety in my life. Remember the song, "I'm No Longer a Slave to Fear"? I am a child of God. And I encourage you to get that in your head whenever fear strikes, because we know that fear does not come from God, right? Absolutely. We've been working on this impact generation emphasis. We're going to continue with that impact and continue pushing forward, because that's who we are as Christians. And the four-week study is entitled "To Whom Much Is Given." The series is going to start the first week in April. And it has an emphasis on being doers of the Word of God rather than merely hearers of the Word. The study is going to help us reaffirm that the Word of God is inspired, that it is relevant and applicable and trustworthy no matter who we are, where we come from, no matter what era we are living in. That's another way of putting no matter what age you are. It takes on a total Christ-like worldview of living. Secondly, it helps each of us to understand God's instructions for our lives to enhance our determination to honor him through obedience to those blessings that we receive from him. And lastly, it'll increase our knowledge of who we are in Christ and help us to make lifestyle choices which yield abundant fruit, not just in our lives, but within the life of our church and our community. And my hope is that sharing the wisdom of the study together as a congregation, that we can provide opportunities for each of us to share with one another our own thoughts, our own feelings, when we reflect upon these lessons. And then hopefully each of us will be able to witness how God is actually at work in our lives and in this church, the way that he will bless each of us as he has done so faithfully in the past. I could go on a little bit longer, but Mike told me to make it brief. So I just want to remind each of you, if you are in a small group already, the small groups that are currently meeting will be taking on this series. If you are not in a small group, if you look at the bulletin board to the right of the Connection Center, you'll see a listings of groups that have been formed to provide this four-week study. We invite you to go out and take a look. At the bulletin board, we'll have groups that will meet online. Groups that will meet in the fellowship hall at the church, and groups that are meeting outside of the church as well. So take time to look over those availabilities and sign up. If you need assistance getting signed up, you're welcome to contact me, and I'll sign you up on whatever group you want to be a part of. Also, look in your bulletins. You'll see just a little reminder of the four-week study, and on the back of the sheet, Again, it gives you the listings of where, when, and who's leading the group as well for you to take home. I just want to say one thing, and I know I was going to share a whole lot more, but I just want to say one thing about small groups. You know, it was a small group study that brought me to Trinity. It met on a Saturday morning. I remember this certain pastor who hounded me continuously to come and sit in this small group study. But it's through that small group study that I actually walked through these doors. And I've been here ever since. And I've been here for one reason. Because I see a congregation who doesn't just come to a Sunday morning worship, but takes to heart the understanding that God's word is applicable every day of their life and not just Sunday morning worship. That they've dedicated their lives to each of you, to spending more time in God's word through small groups. And so I ask that you take the time and let's all come together as a congregation and do this study together so that we can enrich each other with what we've learned through this study. You know, this small group that I mentioned that brought me into the church, it's even greater than that, because it took me places I never dreamed that I would ever be today in my walk with God. And that glory goes to God, but it also goes to all of you, because all of you have been a part of impacting my life here as well. So I thank you.
Amen. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate that. So one, be the eyes, ears, hands, and feet of Christ wherever you go. Two, jump into one of these small groups. Three, worship service for the next two Sundays will be online, possibly longer. We have to see how things develop. We're going to have one service at 10:30 online. You can join via Zoom or live stream from our website. Some of you might be saying in your mind, like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. Step up, okay? Don't step back, step up. Step up and stand up. One service, 10:30. You can join by Zoom through our website. You can also just watch the live stream. If you join by Zoom, you might even be called on to pray or read or something like that, and you can help me lead it, all right? It will not start, if someone comes in 30, 40 minutes into the service, it's going to be close to being over. It's not going to be like watching the service live stream right now where people might have started a half hour in, okay, because the music or whatever, all right? There's going to be no worship team for the next couple of Sundays, all right? So expect 45 to 60 minutes starting at 10:30 for the next couple of Sundays. I want to encourage you to think about how you can utilize this to reach out to people. Perhaps you'll invite someone to your home to go to church with you at your house, in your family room. Don't stop being the church. Maybe a small group will say, hey, let's just watch the service together and spend a little time fellowshipping prayer together. That's why I'm having it at 10:30 and not at 8:45, so you can have time to maybe pull something like that off for a week or so. Have fun with it. Have fun with it. There's some good that's going to come from this. Lastly, our tithes and offerings will need to be mailed in or given online. How many of you have a mailbox? Raise your hand. Okay? And if you don't have a mailbox, you can always go online. All right? Take a look at this page on our website. If you go to the giving page on our website, it's got instructions for you. If you've never given online, I want to ask you to just go do this today. You say, well, I've already given an offering. Well, do $5 today, okay? Just use it. Try it. I want to encourage that. Brant's going to come up and just give us a reminder as a member of the financial team, kind of our status of things, where we're at financially right now, and the importance of not allowing these changes to weaken us, but we're the ones who make sure it'll actually strengthen us.
Good morning, all. All right, I want you to take a look at the bulletin, if you would. Inside second page, lower left side there, it says financial stats. You see what our weekly budget need is, and you see what our giving to date is, and our budget to date, so we're a little bit behind, which is not unusual this time of year for a variety of reasons. Usually we catch up. And the history of giving typically is if people are in church, the tithes and offerings come in, and if they're not, well, sometimes they catch up and sometimes they don't. So obviously, since we aren't going to have a meeting here, there's a little concern that nobody's going to show up and hence no tithes and offerings. However, Pastor Mike already alluded to the fact that you need to be faithful, you need to remain financially strong during this time, and so you need to mail a check in. If you do that, how many people have actually given online? How many people have given online? Okay, a few people. I've not given online. I do a check. But today, since I had to talk, I went online just to see how it was set up. And it's actually pretty easy. You have the online portion, and they ask you for your, you can do a credit card or debit, or you can just draw it directly out of your bank account. It's basically the same thing if you're an app person. How many people are into apps? Who are the app people? Okay, about four over there. Very nice. You can also give with a text, via text. How many would text? Is anybody text and gave money? Okay, a few of those. All right. It's becoming more common. When I'm down in Florida in December visiting my son down there, we go to this humongous church down there. And they pass the offering around, and there's hardly any money in there at all. Everybody takes out their phone. Most of the giving is online. Okay, it's pretty convenient. Plus, you also can set that up so it's a regular thing. You don't have to think about it. This is what it's going to be, and we got it. All right? So, as Pastor Mike said, go to the website, todayschurch.com, and just take a look at that. It's pretty easy to set up. In fact, I might end up doing that instead of writing a check. All right? So, no matter what method you choose, please honor God with your tithes and offerings in the weeks ahead. Thank you.
Let's stand together, and we're just going to pray. And I'd ask the worship team, if you have a closing song, you go ahead and come. We've gone a little bit beyond, but appreciate the folks that have helped me in our presentation today. If you want to just give them a hand and say thank you to them. This presentation began to be put together about 8 p.m. last night. So not only was I under the gun, all of these were under the gun to be ready. So so that's kind of how it was. All right. So, Father, we want to thank you for your faithfulness to us. You let the sun rise every morning. We never have to wonder. You've allowed your Holy Spirit to abide in us and have turned our lives and our bodies into the temple of the Holy Spirit. Christ has come to live his life through us, and our faithfulness needs to be a reflection of your faithfulness, because we're your kids. And so just as you have been faithful to us, and you demonstrate that through the rising of the sun morning by morning, setting down in the same way, may your people be faithful to be your hands, feet, eyes, and mouth, checkbooks, the whole deal, that we'd be your people 7 days a week, 24/7. Help us to rise and stand. In Jesus' name, amen.